Welcome to the Paul Revere Show, folks. This is attorney Mark Thompson. It is August 15th, another beautiful summer night. We are 85 days away from the November 8th, 2022 elections. As I said, this is Mark Thompson. This is Devil's Radio. This is The Shaw. This is WAUK 540 AM, 92.7 FM. And I am here tonight, honored to have Luann Bird, who is a brave citizen that has thrown her hat in the ring to run for the Wisconsin Assembly 84th District. Welcome to the show, Luann.
Well, thank you for having me on, and thank you to your listeners for listening.
So what I'd like to do, Luann, we got some quality time tonight. The 84th District has been sort of redesigned, redistricted, right? I think it's like, you're from Hales Corners, right?
Yes, I am.
And you've been there for what, over a decade?
About 10 years. Yep.
And Greenfield and part of Greendale is in this district, right?
Yes, yes. And then a slice of Milwaukee.
And a slice of my city, Milwaukee.
Yes.
So we are still, this is purple. Wisconsin is a purple state. And what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about you and let our listeners know who is Luann Bird. And before we get into sort of some of the substance of this. So I learned from talking to you earlier that you were born in Oakfield up by Fond du Lac. And spent a lot of time in Oshkosh, right?
Right. Not exactly born in Oakfield, but I would say that's where I spent the majority of my youth growing up.
There you
yes.
go.
And then I married Mr. Wright, my soulmate, Phil, and he lived in Oshkosh. So then we were there for 25 years.
So the Oshkosh, my uncle worked at Oshkosh Truck. My mother was born in Eureka, just a little west of Oshkosh. So what is this? What did you learn about growing up in the Oshkosh area that sort of creates the background of Luann who decides to run for public service?
Well, my upbringing wasn't the happiest. My childhood wasn't the greatest, really. But I do think that it was, you know, my mom was divorced twice. There was some domestic violence, and it just wasn't an easy time. Fortunately, my grandfather was there for us and could take us in when we needed him. And then eventually we, you know, landed on our own. But I think through that, I developed a sense of compassion for people. And I think that, and then living in Oshkosh, raising our kids in Oshkosh was also critical to, that's a wonderful community. They had a great upbringing there, but it was very influential as I got involved in the community, the people that I met there. But the biggest thing that happened was when my husband, you know, we had been living there, married about 5 years, and then my husband had a construction accident and was paralyzed permanently from the waist down. And I knew from that very moment that he was not going to walk again. So you combine that base of compassion that I had and my sense of values that everyone matters, and then that accident, it sort of catapulted me into figuring out how to make things work and figuring out how to get schools accessible, how to make the world better so that we could continue to participate the way we did before his accident.
So it sounds like, and I think you were telling me earlier, that Phil's accident happened right about the same time that the ADA got passed into law.
Yes. It was July 18th, And he was in the hospital. He was still in intensive care. And on July 26th, I was in the waiting room talking to some people, and I just happened to look over at the TV and saw George H. Bush signing the Americans with Disabilities Act into law. And I knew that would affect us. I just had no idea what was coming. I had no idea. So I am grateful for that, let me tell you.
So tell me it and share with the audience, listeners, hopefully those folks that'll get out there and vote for you. How did this experience with Phil and this new life impact your thinking?
Well, I had to learn how to make things work. Phil was in the hospital for 2 months, a little over 2 months. He gets out of the hospital and our daughter had just started kindergarten, and they had their first event at school, and we were upstairs on the playground and everyone else was downstairs participating in the event. And something, I just knew something wasn't right. Well, I thought I could go to the secretary and tell her about this problem and they would just put an elevator in and fix it, right? Well, 5 years later, I'm on the school board. They never did fix that school, but we figured out other ways because they had just put the caps on the budget in the schools. And so that meant that we had to get creative about how to make that work. And we ended up moving some of the programs into the high school because we couldn't hold them in a place. At least they agreed to that in the school. We couldn't hold them in a place that wasn't accessible. And that was really a reasonable approach. And that is really what the ADA is all about. So it shaped me in that I had to learn to compromise. I had to learn to be patient, and I had to learn to never give up. I had to learn to take action because really, really, Mark, for the first couple of years, I was pretty depressed and facing all these challenges and not knowing what to do about it. And then I finally realized that, okay, the ADA law is there for us. So it's not a matter of do they have to make it accessible. When the question in my mind changed to how can they make it accessible, that's when I started to really take action. And that's when it made all the difference for me. And then I wasn't depressed. It's like every time you take action, you feel better about something, right? So
how did you, you mentioned school board. Mm-hmm. What got you involved in the school board?
Well, so I started my advocacy work. I did a survey of the school district, and there were 22 schools in Oshkosh at that time. And I called around because I thought, if I'm having trouble here and my kids go to middle school and high school, what's that going to be like, right? And plus, you participate in events at other schools. So I started calling around. I had a little grid, and I knew exactly which schools you couldn't even get a wheelchair into, and some of them were polling places, right? Which ones didn't have good parking spots. And, you know, I think I had like three criteria that I looked at when I made those phone calls. And so here I had this grid, and I was working with the school, my principal, and then it was getting up to the superintendent level. And during that time, there was a school board member let me back up a little bit. First, there was an election, a school board election. And I went to every single candidate and I said, how do you feel about upgrading our schools to ADA? And they all said, oh yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So I did that first. And then following year, there's another election. And then there was a school board member, they were talking about adding staff for kids with disabilities. And a school board member said, I don't support this because those kids can't learn anything anyway. I mean, that's a growth moment for me. I mean, my heart sunk. I figured, how are we ever going to get access for grownups if he doesn't even care about kids? And that catapulted me into more action. And then I started to look for, he was up for re-election. I started to look for someone to run against him because I didn't think I could ever do that. By the way, I had no degree. I couldn't type when Phil was paralyzed. And by this time I had at least taken a typing class, right? And figured that out. So I started to look for someone else to run because I didn't think I could. Well, then I finally couldn't find anyone. I decided, okay, I'm just going to put my husband and I out there in the community, because there was quite an uproar over that comment, up against this Dennis McHugh who didn't care about kids with disabilities, and let the community decide. That's what I decided. And at the last minute, he didn't run. So it was an open seat and I got elected. And then within a year and a half, we had passed a referendum that upgraded most of the schools. And then in another year and a half, 2 years, we passed a second referendum that sort of finished it. And I remember the superintendent saying to me at one point, we don't need an elevator at the middle school where my kids were going to go, because that would be a waste of resources. That's what he said to me. But we got it done anyway. We got it to the community, and the community agreed that we needed this. So it worked. It worked out.
You'd mentioned that you started out, you didn't have a degree. You do have degrees now, right?
I do. Yes. So, I went back to school. The first degree I got was a degree in quality management from Fox Valley Technical College, because I was very interested in data and quality. And, you know, we were on the school board and we were looking at data all the time. And I wanted to know more about that. And it really was a great start for me. But I really needed a bachelor's. So then I ended up going to Alverno College here in Milwaukee. I remember I found out about it. First of all, it has no grades, which is great because I'm not the best test taker. It's an ability-based curriculum. And all I knew was it looked like it would be great for me. And they had a weekend program that was every other week. So I went and talked to them and I thought, this is going to be great. I come home and I tell my husband and my kids, I'm like, okay, guys, how would you feel? We got to take a break. How would you feel? Okay.
We'll should be we finish right this? Back with we'll Lou Ann Bird on happened. The other side.
All right.
Going to talk, continue this journey, folks. This is Paul Revere Show, attorney Mark Thompson with Lou Ann Bird, talking about democracy in Wisconsin. We will be right back, folks.